Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You know, just like those Lakers, I'm a little unpredictable with my performance and with my appearance. And I think that is the correct note to welcome everybody back into our Ethos Lakers podcast. It's the main man, Ethan, today. And I know it's been a while. You've heard a couple of times from JC since I've been gone. But life, like basketball, has a way of just going up and down the court sometimes. And we've just had some other things sort of snatch up our attention, take away our time, and, you know, most importantly, everything is starting to settle back into place in terms of where it is expected to be moving forward. If you miss me at any point, which, I mean, I can barely be in a room with myself, but if you miss me at any point, you can always follow along on Twitter, at Ethan_Noroff. I give you plenty of thoughts when you follow the Ethos Lakers Twitter. It's usually me tweeting from behind the screen. And so you know I've had a lot of thoughts about Pocket O'Houlihan and all kinds of things that have been going on in Lakerdom since we last connected. But we're not just Debbie Downers here. We do operate in reality, but we do like to be as optimistic as possible. And I couldn't think of a better time to mirror our beloved Lakers, right? Emerging late in the season, unpredictable in their nature. That's the way I'm going to be by reappearing on this Ethos Lakers podcast. And here we are, fresh off the Lakers, one of their more impressive victories of the season, with an absolute drubbing over Oklahoma City. The Lakers now find themselves once again in the post-All-Star break, post-trade deadline, precarious position of being in the play-in, play-off tournament. Or so it would seem. But as the Lakers season has taken shape, as the tides have twisted and turned, we now find ourselves in a position where the Lakers could do themselves a lot of favors in this week ahead. Just a handful of games back from being out of the postseason play-in tournament, the Lakers have an opportunity with two games against the Sacramento Kings in the next handful of contests. A team directly above them in the standings, a team that currently sits on the outside looking in terms of being in the play-in tournament, which is where you want to be. You don't want to be included in this friendship circle. Because the play-in tournament is going to be straight hell. And while I agree with Anthony Davis and his take that, listen, Lakers don't really care about their seed. They're just trying to get there. They're not going to exert all of their effort just to blow their tire like they almost did with that in-season tournament. But at the same time, if the Lakers are able to just play a consistent style of basketball supported by, wait for it, their best lineups, because, wait for it, that requires a coach who, wait for it, actually understands player pairings. This is going to be a team that treads water. However, as Jared Vanderbilt is getting healthier, no longer wearing a walking boot, as Gabe Vincent may be targeting a return as soon as next week, according to Shams Charania. Just snuck that one in there. The Lakers are suddenly getting a little bit deeper, hopefully a little bit healthier. And to be honest with you, I don't hate looking at Harry Giles right now either. But the Lakers, I mean, the real crux of this episode is going to be the Lakers can't reach their potential without Max Christie on the floor. No, I'm kidding. But Pocket O'Houlihan, a.k.a. Darvin Ham, needs to get his head out of his backside when it comes to his best lineups. I don't know what kind of meeting needs to happen within the Lakers organization for everyone to sit him down and say, look, man, you're not playing your best guys. Why? Max Christie is better than Cam Reddish and Torian Prince combined. If Cam Reddish and Torian Prince had some sort of super baby and they could pick superpowers, two, because they each got one, and that baby each had those superpowers, I'm pretty sure Max Christie would still eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, okay? That's how confident I am in this kid. This kid is special. The Lakers messed this one up, they will regret it. I have said it a number of times. I hope to not be proven right in this case. But as the Lakers now find themselves a handful of games above 500, not exactly teetering the 50-50 line, but slightly above it, they find themselves in a position to do great things. D'Angelo Russell needs to be on the court. LeBron basically forced D'Angelo Russell into a heat check in that win over the Thunder, and D'Angelo put up a shot that had no business going in, even if you're Victor Wembanyama shooting over Vern Troyer, rest in peace. And still, it went in. I mean, it was incredible. The Lakers are at their best when D'Angelo Russell, LeBron James, when D'Angelo Russell is at least the second, if not the first, most aggressive scorer on any given night. How's that for a take? See you back on the other side with more. Just kidding. Here we go. LeBron is old, not just by NBA standards, but by general standards. Okay? I say that as someone who's 4 years off from him. He's old. My students remind me of it every day. Now, I don't mean he's old in the grand scheme of life, okay? Thankfully, we live in a society where life expectancy is much, much longer than that. But in terms of everyday things, I mean, he's been here for a while. And the fact that he could still dominate any NBA game on any given night, when he has been in the league long enough where his career could go out for a legal drink, is absolutely absurd. But therein lies the reality of the situation, which is that the Lakers cannot rely on him to be that guy every night. When it happens, it's special. And when it happens in moments, it's special. But when it happens for a whole game, it's really special. But in terms of offensive production, D'Angelo Russell needs to be that guy next to Anthony Davis. He needs to be the one to step up. He needs to be the one who is uber aggressive. He needs to be the one that is setting the tone for the offense. And that is when the Lakers play their best basketball. It opens so much else up. And this is a common thing that we see in basketball, right? It's not just a LeBron thing. We saw it with Kobe too. We've seen it with a myriad of other stars. What happens is these guys are so starstruck, for lack of a better term, to play with these guys. And you know, they're human. They're super skilled and they're so damn tall, especially compared to me, but they're human, right? So what they do is they have this tendency or this, you know, some sort of subconscious bias to just defer and watch. D'Angelo Russell is such a unique cat, man. He played with Kobe in his rookie year and he's playing with LeBron. I mean, in D'Angelo Russell's rookie season. And then he's playing with LeBron at the end of LeBron's career and in the midst of his own. It's just a really special growth curve. And I'm not sure that particular storyline is played up enough. Like, I would like to know more about that in terms of what impact it's had on D'Angelo, short term and longer term. I think that's such a special thing. But the reality of the situation is that the Lakers are best when he's doing the damn thing. And he has been doing the damn thing. For a guy that so many people, so many Lakers fans wanted to trade away for a bag of chips and maybe a replacement player for the season, D'Angelo Russell is averaging a career best from behind the three-point line, 41.6%. He's averaging second best from the field in general. He's above 46, almost 47% from the field. For a guy who shoots as many threes as he does and who drives to the rim, and he's always going to be the smaller guy pretty much in those situations, that's not bad. And my favorite part of D'Angelo's game this year is his career low in turnovers, just 2 a game. Of course, you'd love to see the assists go up, but D'Angelo Russell having 10 assists in a game is not a measure. It's not the only measure of what's going to make him effective. When D'Angelo Russell cooks, the Lakers smell like bacon in the morning. And that is a scent that everyone can wake up to. All right. So listen, I know what everybody's thinking because those thoughts are loud. They are not silent, they are not self-contained, and they are most certainly not alone in their nature. Darvin Ham, what are you doing on any given night? I want anyone with regular access to this team to ask the same question until it's answered. Why is your best perimeter defender who is available to be played right now not consistently on the court? Where is Max Christie? I know I joked about it a little bit ago, but now I'm dead serious about it. Where is this kid? I've seen the things about how, you know, Anthony Irwin told us that there's a linear comparison for Darvin because Torian Prince reminded him of Chris Middleton when he was in Milwaukee on that coaching staff. Listen, Torian Prince reminds you of Chris Middleton like I remind you of Shohei Ohtani. That's about as close as that is. And so this idea that this is a team that has, you know, been somewhat resilient in its nature in some spots. You'd like to see that practiced a lot more frequently than we have. But somewhat resilient in its nature, especially more recently, right? And it feels like it's like self-sabotage. It's coaching malpractice. And it's not just the Christie thing. It's pulling D'Angelo Russell off the court the whole fourth quarter, trying to close with Cam Reddish instead. What are you doing? What is Cam Reddish doing out there? Cam Reddish is not playing any kind of defense like he was playing earlier in the season. Effort is nowhere near the same. Maybe it's a product of injuries. Maybe it's a product of he's tired. I don't know. But Cam Reddish has done nothing to boost his value league-wide. Nothing. Lakers are supposed to do well with minimum players. Cam Reddish, everybody was real excited about. I would much rather have seen Max Christie play all of Cam Reddish's minutes this season, especially in the last 50 games. Very frustrating. What are you doing with LeBron on the sidelines, down the stretch, in crunch time? You, when you have timeouts available and he is waiting to be checked in, why are you not calling a timeout? When your team falls down early, why do you wait to call a timeout until the opposition has cut the deficit to 2, 3, 4 points? Call it at 6 or 8 points. Get the boys back on track. Here we go. That's your job as a coach. It's the whole staff, but it starts with Darvin. I need anyone on that staff to be a little better and just to be like a little more aware of what the reality is in terms of how this team can actually perform. Especially, and this is so critical, just to perform at maximum potential or to have a chance at maximum potential. But this is also so important because, as I said just, you know, a little bit ago, Vanderbilt is on his way back. Vincent is on his way back. And because the Lakers wound up...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Up with Spencer Dinwiddie as a buyout acquisition at the trade deadline. Now, how does that impact that rotation? What does that look like? Can Darvin Ham play five guards at a time? He damn might try. And it's just, it's so frustrating to have such a sort of, I don't want to say quite a consensus, but a universal or feels universal opinion that this team could be coached a different way. When it feels like the head coach is a weak point, not a strength. I don't want that to be the case. Nobody who is watching the Lakers is rooting for anyone to fail. If you're a fan, if you're an observer, like, I don't understand, even just if you're a fan of a team, right? Like, why do you want, like, people who root for people to actively fail, it's sick, right? And especially people who root for injury. That's next level disgusting. You can root for teams and players to win, which means the other side loses. Like, if you just say, man, I really want the Lakers to win. We know what that means. You don't have to add the second part of it. So as this Lakers team moves forward, the rotations, that noise, that conversation, it's only going to grow louder. And it's going to be on Darvin Ham because everybody is going to be watching him and what his decisions are. All right, there was one game Darvin Ham literally played Max Christie 5 seconds. Are you kidding me? That's a middle finger. That's worse than a DNP. 5 seconds for a kid who at one point was starting? Second year, everybody is so excited. The Lakers have to develop talent from within. They need perimeter defense. They need guys who can actually bring it on that side of the court. A lot of their players are offensively oriented, right? Austin Reeves is not exactly a lockdown defender. D'Angelo Russell, not a lockdown defender. Everyone's talking about D'Angelo Russell's defense. Maybe it's a problem with the Lakers and the structure of the team. Maybe putting him out there alongside Max Christie would be helpful for him. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson play together for a reason. And I know that that's, you know, I know this season has been uneven with Golden State, but they play together for a reason just in terms of their size and build. There's a reason that you see a backcourt like Trae Young and DeJounte Murray and the Hawks are going, man, what are we going to do here? We can't be doing this. Okay? You have to think about, if you're going to, in D'Angelo Russell, you're going to employ a guy who's going to make your offense considerably better, who can be a dynamic scorer and an elite three-point shooter for you. And the trade-off is, you got to pair him with somebody who can play defense consistently on the perimeter. That feels like a relatively normal trade-off. That feels like an okay deal. And so I know the Lakers team has really changed in its structure in terms of from the beginning of the season. But the core pieces are the same, right? The core pieces in and of themselves are the same. And so as the Lakers go forward, my hope is that they have, you know, it was really sort of weird. The Lakers couldn't start this season with a starting lineup that literally got them to the Western Conference Finals last season. Why don't you start there and work backwards instead of being like, wow, what if we tried all these other things except what we saw that worked? Lakers seem to have OKC's number, but they still can't have Denver's. And so right now, as the Lakers are looking at the playoffs in the very near future, if the Lakers are able to play themselves out of the play-in tournament, get this. Come a little closer, get this. If the Lakers are able to play themselves out of the play-in tournament, and the Thunder somehow slipped down to the 3 seed, You already know the Lakers have put themselves in a pretty decent point considering how it started. And the Lakers, even though they've had a lot of health concerns, injury issues along the way, relatively healthy right now. I know Vando's on the way back, Vincent's on the way back, but those guys have been out for more of the season than they've been in. But they're relatively healthy. I know LeBron's got the ankle thing, and AD is probably every night. And shout out to AD. Shout out to Anthony Davis, who is having arguably his greatest season ever. As a Laker, as a professional basketball player, instead of any night AD, like questionable, it's been every night AD. Shout out to Anthony Davis. I feel like that you just, the same people who would destroy him for being quote unquote injury prone, they have nothing to say that he has played basically every night and he has brought it basically every night. Past seasons, there are multiple instances where you say, where was Anthony Davis tonight? This season, I can think of maybe three times at the most. And a couple of them were earlier in the season. So shout out to AD, because going forward, the Lakers' apex will be solely dependent on Anthony Davis, not LeBron James, being the best player that's on the court in the purple and gold. Okay, one reason that Anthony Davis and not anyone else has to be the Lakers' best player. If you look upwards and you see the reality of the situation, the Lakers' schedule is a nightmare. The Lakers' schedule the rest of the way is a problem. It doesn't give them any breaks. It doesn't give them any opportunities to recover. And it most certainly doesn't provide any sort of pathway for them to be given anything. But the Lakers have an opportunity. The Kings flopping spots with the Suns on any given night. I know I said earlier the Kings were right outside that playoff play-in line. Any given night, they're flopping in and out with the Suns like they're both fish out of water. For the next four games, the Lakers play the Kings twice. Once in L.A., that's going to be the one that's right around the corner. Right here, and once in Sacramento. In between those two games, the Lakers take on the Bucks and the Timberwolves at home. And if you think it lets up from there, it just doesn't. It's the Warriors, the Hawks, the Sixers, the Pacers, the Bucks again. Then maybe there's a slight reprieve with the Grizzlies, Pacers, Nets, Raptors, Wizards. Those are teams that play hard. Especially down the stretch of the season with quote-unquote nothing to play for, those are always the teams that want to play spoiler. And then the Lakers finish the season with a challenging stretch. Minnesota, Golden State, Memphis again, and then the Pelicans. The West is just a nightmare. The West is tough. Everywhere you look, it is tough. Even the teams in the cellar, it is tough. The Lakers are not going to have an opportunity to sleepwalk their way into the desired position. If they're going to flip the switch, they're going to have to do it from the basement, not the ceiling, because that's where they're going to find themselves to start the playoffs. This is an opportunity. Nothing is to be taken for granted. This is part of LeBron's normalization of the greatness of just how remarkable his career has been. Of course, this week, 40,000 points. Just really think about how incredible that is, right? The raw math, just pure basic math, is 2,000 points a year for two decades, 20 years. That is so incredibly difficult to do, okay? Basically, what you're saying in that scenario, okay, is that if LeBron plays every single regular season game, for 20 years, he would be averaging 24.4 points per night. That's every game, every year, which we know is not the case. It's an absurd level of greatness that we literally have never seen before. The longevity of his peak is what I could talk about for days. And basically, it is his driving factor toward the top of the who is the greatest of all time conversation. It is the peak of his greatness, sustained peak, nearly two decades. I mean, really, the overwhelming majority of LeBron's career. He has been in the greatest basketball player in the league conversation. It's remarkable. But these Lakers can't just rely on that to happen game over game, year over year. It feels like LeBron is almost certain to be back next season and possibly even beyond that. Even though after the playoffs last year, because the Lakers got swept, and you think about the Lakers getting swept and everyone's like, oh yeah, Denver blew them out, right? The Nuggets won. They were the better team. There's no question. But these games were competitive. They were just like the one that just elapsed, where the Lakers hang around, look like they might even win for most of the game, and then Denver just pulls away. And for whatever reason, Michael Porter Jr., you know, treats the Lakers like their eighth grade, YMCA team. I mean, it's incredible. LeBron's window is short. We're at the tail end here. So if the Lakers are going to win another championship in the LeBron era, it has to be soon. And if the LeBron era ends, especially if it extends another 2 years beyond this one without a second championship, there will be more pundits than not who consider the LeBron era a failure in terms of total results. From a business perspective, from a marketing perspective, from a getting Anthony Davis here perspective, so many other ways, it is a total win. But the conversation on the internet and everywhere else, especially because the internet is such a positive place in its wholesome, loving, nurturing environment, will carry a different tone. But it is just remarkable what he has done. So as the Lakers go forward in their schedule, he wants to be the Lakers' third best player on any given night. Because it will mean that the Lakers have given themselves the most chance to succeed against whomever the opponent's going to be. If the Lakers come out of this stretch at just 500 or worse, it's not going to matter what happens the rest of the way because they're not giving themselves a chance. For the Lakers to give themselves a chance, they have to prove to everyone else, but most importantly, have to prove to themselves that they can rise to the occasion for a team that says that that's what its baseline is going to be when the lights are brightest and it matters most. Show me, don't tell me. Just like I tell my students, there is ability and there is willingness. I know you are able, but are you willing? And I'll have you guys think about that till next time. And until then, I'm out.